Welcome, everybody. This is David Newman with another bonus masterclass interrogation. That's right. These aren't interviews. These are interrogations. And my guest today is the awesome and amazing Dan Janal. I will read you Dan's very short intro, and then I will tell you truly how fabulous and fantastic he is. So, Dan Janal is one of the founding fathers of internet marketing and publicity. He wrote one of the first books on internet marketing all the way back in 1994. He taught the first internet marketing class at Berkeley and also taught internet branding at Stanford. He now focuses on helping clients build their brands so they can sell more products and services. USA Today even called Dan a true cyberspace pioneer, and through his coaching and consulting services, Dan's clients have been featured in nearly every major newspaper and magazine, including the New York Times, Forbes, Fox Business, the Wall Street Journal, and literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others. Dan's the author of 8 books, including Reporters Are Looking for You and Internet Marketing Confidential. Dan lives on one of Minnesota's 10,000 lakes with his wife and 2 cats, even though right now he's joining us from Cardiff-on-the-Sea, California. And for more information on Dan and his empire, go to prleadsplus.com. And that's the official intro. We always have to read the official intro because there's some marketing material in there and some background and some credibility statements. But I will tell you from firsthand experience, Dan Janal's expertise, not only in publicity and press releases and marketing, but Dan's expertise in business and in entrepreneurship has been so invaluable to me personally, to many, many of my clients that I've sent his way, and just his generosity is amazing, perhaps only in competition with his expertise. So you are in for a real treat. My buddy Dan Janal, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much, David. It's an honor to be here, and I would be remiss if I were not the first person to congratulate you on earning the CSP designation from the National Speakers Association, the Certified Speaking Professional designation, as being one of the most busiest and most revered speakers in the world. So congratulations to you, David.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So the focus of our call today, and I want to get into publicity and PR and PR leads and press releases, but I also want to talk about just sort of the whole internet marketing landscape and how it's changed and sort of where you think that small business owners and entrepreneurs fit into that. So let me start with kind of a contrarian crazy statement that you may have heard before and that I'm sure that you coach and consult your clients through, which is, okay, we're looking at publicity, we're looking at press releases, we're looking at getting quoted online and offline and all kinds of media. In the age of the web and SEO and social media, is publicity even relevant? I know it's a loaded question because, of course, the answer is yes. But how do you when people say, you know, Dan, I'm not sure that publicity and press releases are all that important anymore. What's your take on that?
I'd say get your head out of the sand. And I know you're posing that hypothetically and that you don't believe a word you just said, but that's a great way to start a conversation. Here's why publicity still matters. Number one, people respect the opinions of others, so you need to influence people on every touch point. Number two, people don't make decisions until they see your name a zillion times. I don't even know what the number is anymore, but as we get so many more messages and so much more information, it's not just 7 impressions anymore or 21 impressions. It's zillions and zillions, and then they still want to make sure that your friends are going to check you out. So when you introduced me, you said the USA Today called Dan Janal a true cyberspace marketing pioneer. Now suddenly, people who had never heard of me before are saying, USA Today? He must be somebody good. So the power of the press still works. And as far as press releases go, well, yeah, you may not read press releases, but I tell you, who does? Google does. And all of your potential prospects and current customers and former customers and people who are searching for a business or a service just like yours are going to Google to look for it first. So if they're looking for a Boston elder care expert, chances are they're going to find my client, Michael Bloom, because we wrote a press release, or several press releases actually, and we optimized for that keyword, Boston elder care expert. And he's all over the place for that term. In fact, Fox News was looking for a elder care expert in Boston to promote on their show because they're doing a segment on that topic. And who did they find but Michael? And of course, they called Michael and he was on the show, and now he's getting additional publicity and reaching many, many more people and fulfilling his mission by appearing on a television show that is reaching millions of people, all because of the power of publicity and press releases. So I hope that pulls your head out of the sand and you can see the world with fresh vision in your eyes.
Well, and you bring up an excellent point, because a lot of people think press releases, today, press releases are good for getting in front of the media. And really, it's now an indirect benefit, because press releases directly are for going to consumers, right? So search engine optimization, if you want to be found by your ultimate consumers and buyers and influencers and recommenders, that's number one. And then number two, as you said, the press releases also talk directly to Google. So if the media picks you up, that's almost like a bonus, whereas in the old traditional kind of quote-unquote PR, we sent press releases only to the media, and we had no access to the public, and we had no access to the search engines. But so now it's sort of the best of both, that you do go to Google, you do go to your end users and end customers and end prospects, and also, by the way, the traditional media, so TV, radio, print, might also pick you up along the way. Is that accurate?
That's totally true, because the world is all about search now. So one of my clients has a business where they sell private jet ridership. So in other words, executives rent a plane, they go from New York to Cincinnati, and they're going to be there for 3 days, so the plane has to do something for 3 days. So he finds other passengers for that plane. So he does press releases, and he uses keywords like corporate travel and fractional jet ownership and things like that. And when you know it, but there are a lot of corporate planners out there, corporate travel planners out there, who have set up keyword searches for exactly those terms. So whenever he does a press release, this press release winds up in those people's mailboxes so they can quickly learn about him and his services and what's available. So there are a lot of opportunities. So yes, it is great when the reporters write about you, but as you say, that's the icing on the cake. The whole purpose of reporters in the past was that they were the gatekeepers. They were the ones who decided if your message reached the public. Now we can bypass those gatekeepers and go directly to the public. So it's actually a much more efficient communication model. We don't need reporters anymore to tell our stories. In fact, reporters could screw up our stories, you know, that they could interview our competitors and get our competitors' names in there. But in a press release, you're telling your story from your point of view with your information, and no one knows about any of your competitors or any negative things at all. They just know your story as you want it to be told.
So let's roll up our sleeves and get into the nitty-gritty of this, because I know that this is one of your areas of real genius and real expertise, which is there are many, many different ways to write a press release. And in fact, if people Google how to write a press release, what they will typically find is completely wrong, inaccurate, and ineffective information. Because, pardon me, a press release today is really not... it's not an advertisement in disguise. It's not about how wonderful we are and our new products and our new services and we just won this award. So there's three or four different press release strategies that I know that you teach and that you coach and that you actually do for people. So one of them, for example, is the tips format, right? The tip sheet. Another one might be almost like a pseudo article, where the ultimate, and again, you and I have talked about this, I know you've done this for many of your clients, you write an information-based press release that if it's a slow news day, sometimes the media or a website or an influential blog will just pick up the press release as is and reprint it with very little or no modifications, because it's a value piece. It's not a marketing piece, it's a value piece. So Help us redefine, Dan, what, you know, because we've all seen the traditional press release. Our company's 97 years old. We offer full service financial services, blah, 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 blah. And those go right to the shredder. Those go right to the delete key. What's the new set of best practices around the different kinds of press releases that we could put out there, possibly with your help, and that will get picked up and that will create some marketing mojo?
Okay, great. First, let me be a contrarian here and say, yes, you can still do vanity press releases and say, David Newman wins highly coveted or earns highly coveted certified speaking professional award, and I'll tell you why. Because people are searching for David Newman. They're thinking they're going to hire David Newman or somebody else. They're going to do a name search. It's just like you're dating somebody. You do a Google search, you want to find out if they're a prostitute or something. So you type their name and you see what comes up. Well, we do that with service providers all the time. So they're going to find your website, and now they're going to find other articles and other content that positions you as an expert. So it certainly doesn't hurt for you to highlight the fact that you have been named to this high award, and the same for the people on the call. So the traditional press releases still work. They're vanity, but they do position you and your brand, so don't avoid those. What I find is that people stop thinking right there. They don't realize that press releases don't have to contain news. You know, what we're talking about, you know, you win an award, you get a promotion, whatever, that's news. You have a new book, you have a new product, new service, that's news. They say, well, gee, I don't have any news because I don't have any new products or new books or whatever, so I guess I don't need press releases. That's wrong, too, because you pointed out, and I'll go into more detail here, reporters are basically looking for things that are interesting, and readers are looking for things that make their lives better, you know, how to earn more money, how to have better relationships, how to be healthier. So if you've ever written an article or a blog post that answers those questions, then you have the basis for a good press release that positions you as a thought leader, an authority, and someone who is to be trusted and respected. So if you write if you've written an article, say, 5 ways to reduce stress for busy lawyers, great, let's turn that into a press release, and that way busy lawyers who are looking to reduce stress will know about you and contact you and hopefully engage you or buy your products and services because you have a deliverable, you have a benefit that they are searching for to solve their problems. So think about what problems your audience has, write an article about that, we'll turn that into a press release, and that's something that I can help you with, and then you can get double duty out of that content because, frankly, that's all that people care about now. They want content that helps them lead richer lives and more productive business lives. So if your press release does that, you're probably going to start getting some more visits to your website and being able to convert those into real prospects and paying customers.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, and it's funny, you know, true confession time, that Dan and I have been friends for just about 10 years, and I've been a subscriber to PR Leads almost from the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. Dan's been doing it a little bit longer than that. But when it comes to press releases, I am a recent convert. And Dan's been, you know, prodding me and poking me. It's, dude, you really should do press releases, and that's a great reason for a press release. And so over the last year, I think I've done 5 or 6 with you, Dan. And so when my book came out, for example, you know, people are searching for best business book, best marketing book. You helped me put a press release out there where for about 3 months, if you put in best marketing book or best, I forget, we did a couple of them. One was best marketing book. The other one was best small business marketing book. I was on page 1 of Google above my own website. So this press release was above my own website. It was above the Amazon page for my book, and it was out there, and it was this press release. It said, okay, well, you know, best small business marketing book, according to who? According to me, and according to Dan, who helped me write the press release. So you know, it's almost like the old joke about, well, I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. You know, if people Google best small business marketing book, I want my book to be up there. If you're doing something with web design or leadership or financial services or elder care or any of these things, wouldn't you want to be positioned as, you know, best, brightest, most valuable, most incredible, most wonderful, best smelling, all those kinds of things? So I can personally attest that those half dozen press releases that I've done, over the last year have been some of the best money I've ever spent on marketing, and I spend a lot of money. So that's huge. Talk a little bit, Dan, about some other success stories. So you mentioned the elder care person. What else, kind of what other, how else can we benefit from being quoted in the media? And there's two parts, I know there's at least two parts to the business that I want to talk about. One is the press releases that we're talking about now, and then I also want to cycle into PR leads, because PR leads, I've been a fan and an advocate and a supporter and a beneficiary of that, because I've gotten quoted in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Selling Power, Sales and Marketing Management, Entrepreneur Magazine, just dozens and dozens of publications like that. That was good for me then, but I continue to benefit from that today. But so we'll talk about that shortly. What else about press releases? How else can we change people's thinking about, you know, press releases aren't for me, I don't get it, I don't see the benefit? What else can we hammer home about the huge impact that doing an occasional press release can have?
Well, David, I think you really hit the nail on the head there, and a lot of people are scratching themselves and saying, well, I don't have the moxie to say that I'm the best dentist in town, or I'm the best coach in town or in the world or whatever, because people are kind of modest or they sell themselves short. And I just want to pat you on the back, because when you came to me with the idea of saying best business book, I thought, gee, that's kind of bold. And then I thought to myself, you know, when I go to Google, or if I'm looking to buy a new washing machine, what do I type? I type best washing machine, or best dishwasher, or best car that gets 35 miles per gallon, or whatever. So it was no great stretch, because that's the way people search. So I use that as a, and it worked, obviously. You're a brilliant case study. I had no idea that you had that kind of results, which are wonderful. So anyone can say they are the best or the top, because that's what people are looking for. So as you're writing your press release, consider using those kinds of keywords to position yourself, because that's what Google looks for. And I'll give you a couple of hidden secrets here on how to really get to the top of Google. You want to position yourself, say, by what you do. So you might be the best dentist in town, or the best orthodontist, or just to say what you do. You know, you could be a keynote speaker. You could be a supply chain management expert. That's cool. So put in what you do, because that's what people are looking for. The second thing, you might want to position yourself by geography. So let's say you are an insurance person or a financial planner, and you can only work with people in Texas, or you're a coach and you only want to work with people in your hometown so you can meet them face to face. So you might want to say Houston Small Business Women's Coach as your keywords. And I think that's going to make you stand out from all the other hundreds of thousands of people who do exactly what you do around this great country of ours. So by positioning yourself by what you do and where you do it, or who you do it for, like Houston Women's Small Business Coach. Small business coach is what you do. You're focusing on women. You live in Houston. We did that with one of our clients a while back, and she owned the front page of Google for that term. And I mean, Google printed her name in the press release multiple times. I'm not sure if Google's new algorithms, if they would do that again to print it multiple times, but one time, we can pretty much plan on that happening, if you do, of course, depending on your competitors and such. So you don't have to have news. That's the other myth about press release. I just want to really, you know, clean this whole idea up. Press releases are not about news. They can be about news, but they don't have to be about news. They have to be about something that's interesting. You know, the newspaper is full of stuff that is interesting, that is not news. For instance, sports. Sports is not news. Lifestyle stuff is not news. How to raise happier, healthier kids is not news. But it's interesting. The horoscope, the comics, the puzzles, the Sudokus, the TV listings, that's not news. So get over that myth. You don't have to have news. You just have to be interesting. For example, we just went to, just came back from the National Speakers Association conference, and I saw one of my clients there, and she'd actually pre-bought a bunch of press releases from me, and she said, oh, I'm probably your worst client because I never call you in with the press releases. I said, no, you're my best client because you bought the press releases and you don't use them, so I have your money. We had a nice joke about that. But then he said, so what's new? He said, well, I guess I could tell you that I have a new line of greeting cards. I guess that would be news. I said, of course it is. It's a new product. It's a new service. You should definitely do that. that. And her topic was conversations and talk to people effectively. And I said, well, you could have a tips article on how to deal with your boss and how to negotiate a raise or how to get along with difficult people. And she said, oh, yeah, I could do that. So now we're back on track. So I think, people talk themselves out of getting publicity because we are modest by nature. We are shy by nature. We are not, pounding our chest and beating our chest by nature. So if you're that kind of person, then we should definitely have a conversation for a few minutes to find out what is new or interesting that the public would find, fascinating about you, and would want to initiate a conversation where you could convince them that you are the person that they need to work with to solve their problems. So that's how publicity can help you.
Fantastic. And now, so there's really two sides to this coin, because there's publicity, specifically press releases that you push out into the world. And then we always look at these other companies or these other experts or these other business people, these other executives. They get quoted everywhere. It's like, how did he get in that article? How did she get into that blog post? How did she get quoted in that e-zine blast? And so the other side that I want to expose people to is just the greatest thing, I think, since sliced bread, which is PRleads.com. And you've also written a book called Reporters Are Looking for You. So talk about this whole – because people kind of peek under the rock and they see these little worms and ants and bugs. Oh, my God, there's a whole little secret world under here that, I don't need to be – Arianna Huffington, I don't need to be a media mogul of my own standing to be quoted in major, major, major online publications. So, Dan, talk a little bit about Reporters Are Looking for You. What does that mean? What's PR Leads all about? How does it work? How do we get involved?
Okay, great. Let's separate these because it gets kind of, I don't want to say it's confusing, but, we're giving people a lot of information at one time. Reporters Are Looking for You is actually a book. It's like a very inexpensive book. I made it inexpensive on purpose. It's available on Amazon, so check it out there. But the purpose of the book is to, lift the rock and teach you all the hidden secrets I've learned over really 30 years of working with the media as a business newspaper reporter, working for daily newspapers, and as an award-winning reporter, as well as a PR person for the last umpteen years as well. So all the secrets and all the tricks and all the things you really need to know are in that very, very, very easy to read book, and it teaches you how to respond to a reporter exactly the way they want to be spoken to. So it's really cool. So check that out. Now, PR Leads is really, you're right, it's the yin and the yang of publicity. With press releases, you're trying to influence the media and influence your public on an idea or thought that they hadn't had before. Like, they didn't know that they needed these benefits that you were offering, and now you're exposing them to it, and, hopefully they'll write an article about it. But that's one side. You're pushing the information out to them. On the other hand, reporters go to work one day, they have they're sitting down at breakfast, they're talking to the teenage daughter, and she's not looking at them because she's texting everyone, and the reporter says, texting seems to be big. I think I'll write a story about that. So they drive to the office and they convince their editor that they're going to do a story about this new thing called texting, and now they need to find experts who can comment on it. So they might want to talk to a small business owner who texts. They might want to talk to a technology person about the phenomenon. They might want to talk to someone in advertising. They might want to talk to a 15-year-old girl. So now they have to find all those people. It's like finding casting in a movie. Looking for the tall, dark stranger, the beautiful blonde heroine, and the goofy-looking sidekick, and all that. So it's the same thing. Reporters have to package a story. So they basically come to us, and us is PR Leads, that's the name of our company, and they say, hey, we're doing a story about road rage, and we need to find a police person who has issued tickets in a road rage situation, and we need to find a psychologist who can talk about why people get enraged on the road, and we need to find a victim, someone who is beaten up by someone in a road rage incident. So if you have a client or if this is you, send me some information and I'll talk to you or I'll quote you or you'll get featured in the newspaper. So that's how newspaper articles get written. They start in the idea of the reporter, and then they're looking for experts and people who can fill in the blanks for them with the information that they need. So they basically send us that query in a text format, an email format. They say, hey, I'm doing a story about this, and I need these kinds of people, and here's who I'm writing for, and here's my deadline, and here's how you can contact me. And then you just give them the information. Of course, I teach my clients how to do that in a very succinct way that doesn't take them a lot of time, and it's highly effective. So that's really how PR Leads works. It's basically a subscription model. You sign up month by month. If you're happy with the service, we just charge your card automatically. And if you don't like it, then you stop. Simple as that. And if you like it and you get quoted, then you'll probably want to continue. So it's in my best interest to make you successful.
Well, and I wanted to say this earlier when we were talking about press releases, too, that it's not just one media mention. It's not just one press release. You know, this is like someone saying, well, I posted one blog post, and I never got any business from it, so blogging doesn't work. Or I made one phone call to one prospect, and man, you know, I really don't like the telephone prospecting because that just doesn't work. So you need to be continuously doing a regular regimen of press releases, and then that's going to start to build momentum. You need to regularly respond to these journalists' queries through PR Leads, and then that's where the magic starts to happen. Now, a lot of people also say, well, you know, this really makes me crazy, and this is where, Dan, I've sent a lot of people your way. They say, I want to hire a PR firm. And I just think that's what's going to be the secret for me. And it's $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month. And when I tell those people, I say, no, hold on, wait, stop, think. Why in the world would you do it? What's the ultimate end result? Well, I want to be quoted. I want to be featured. Or I want to be on TV. I want to be on the radio. I want to be whatever. You know, if it's a very, very specialized, you know, highly specialized, highly industry-specific kind of campaign, maybe there's a place for that. But 80% of the rest of us, as far as small business owners and entrepreneurs and independent professionals, a service like PR Leads that brings the leads to you, and then not only do you get quoted and featured in those publications, let's take it one step further, and here's where I've really monetized my media and my investment in PR Leads. As soon as you get quoted, one time, one sentence in either a prestigious industry publication or a prestigious mainstream publication, at this point in time, I can say for the rest of my life until the day that I die, David Newman's been featured and quoted in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Sales and Marketing Management, Selling Power, Entrepreneur Magazine, Startups, blah, 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 CNN.com, Investors Business Daily, FastCompany.com, forever. Now, those articles might be 2, 3, even 4, 5, 6 years old. That doesn't matter. You know, if you go to Investors Business Daily and you search for my name, it will come up with the articles. There's two of them actually right now where I'm quoted. If you go to NewYorkTimes.com and search for my name in their archives, you will find that article, which, by the way, was in 2006, and it was directly from PRLeads.com. So the way that you repurpose, the way that you leverage that one-time blip that, oh, my gosh, I or my company was in the New York Times. I or my company was in this leading trade publication in my industry. How else, Dan, besides having it in your bio like I just mentioned, how else can people recycle and repurpose and keep that credibility and fame factor going after they're quoted in the media?
Great question. I was wondering if you're going to put all those logos on your tombstone, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm actually not half joking there because I've created what I call a stamp. It has my picture and what I do. You know, my name, Dan Janelle, president of PR Leads, and then it says featured in. Then I have the logos of the New York Times and NPR and Forbes and Investors Business Daily and a few other publications underneath that. And that I use as my picture on my blog. And if I'm doing someone's teleseminar, I send it to them. So now they're just not looking at my wonderful face. They're actually seeing the logos of all these places that give me instant credibility. So it's very subtle. Maybe it's not so subtle. It's pretty bold. It tells people, wow, he must be good because he's been featured in all these places. So that's one thing you can do when you've been quoted in the media. Another thing you can do is let the whole world know that you've been quoted, because frankly, not everyone reads every page of every magazine or newspaper. I mean, if you're quoted on page 16 of the Wall Street Journal, there's a good chance many people may not see that, because maybe your clients don't read the Wall Street Journal, or maybe they don't read anything beyond the front page of the Wall Street Journal, or whatever. So it's up to you to tell them that you're famous. So I like to tell all my prospects that I've been quoted in the media, and I'll have a link to that site, because, you know, your prospects just need another nudge. They need another contact point with you to make that decision to hire you or hire somebody else. So it might just be that you being quoted in the media gives you enough credibility to make that happen. So I always want to tell my clients to send it to prospects. But I also want to tell my clients to send the media mentions and the articles to their current clients. Why? Because they're just one phone call away from working with your competitor. There is no loyalty in the world today, and if someone comes along with a better offer or a better price, then they may jump ship, and you may not know why. But if they think they're working with the number one leader in their field, and that happens to be you because you were quoted in the media, then you have another chance to retain those customers for a longer period of time. And the third audience I would send it to is your former clients, because they might be one step from getting back into the game. I have a lot of clients who say are authors, and they write a book, then they promote the book, and then 6 months later they stop promoting the book and they're writing their next book, or they're having a baby, or they're taking care of a spouse who has a medical condition, and then after that gets resolved, they come back and they're promoting their business again. So just because someone leaves you as a client doesn't mean they've left you forever. They could very well come back to you, and this may be, you know, if you send them a note saying, hey, I was quoted in the media, that may be a jog in their memory that says, oh yeah, that's great, it's time for me to get moving again, and it's time for me to start working with Dan again. In fact, one of my favorite quotes of all times comes from Patricia Fripp, who was the first female president of the National Speakers Association, and she said, it is not your client's responsibility to remember that you are still in business. I'll repeat that because I just love this line. It's not your client's responsibility to remember that you are still in business. So why not remind them that you're still in business with a quote from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or some other credible media publication, whether it's through a press release or through an original article with a reporter, it's still equally valid that you are in the media, and that's another opportunity for you to stay in touch with your clients, your prospects, your former clients. And frankly, I'd send a copy to your mother-in-law too, because now she might have some idea of what you do and might have a little bit more respect for you.
You can always use brownie points in that department.
Right.
Absolutely. So it not only, I mean, that's a brilliant strategy right there. I mean, just having that piece of media, that article, that link, that website, that e-zine, wherever you were quoted or featured, it's not only a value item about, hey, you know, just did this article or just quoted in this piece, you know, thought you'd find it valuable, please feel free to share it with your team, that kind of thing that you might send to a client or prospect or past client or future prospect or any of those things, but it's also a reactivation strategy and a loyalty strategy. And the third piece of this, the fourth piece of this, is what you just said is just a brilliant little insight that you yourself, Dan, might not have realized. It's a way to decommoditize yourself. So if we're in financial services, right, we're a financial planner, the fact that there's a whole bunch of financial planners and they all look the same, sound the same, you know, same old, lame old kind of stuff, except your financial planner is regularly quoted in the media, right? There's a ton of web designers, graphic designers, they're a dime a dozen, except you and your web design company, you are regularly quoted as an expert in the media. Your current clients get reinforcement that, hey, I made a good decision. I'm paying premium dollars for a premium company, and here's why, because their president, their CEO, they're a thought leader, they're always getting quoted in the media. And at the same time, it's a loyalty factor that someone says, hey, Dan, you know, my brother-in-law does websites for $250. You're not going to be so quick to change because now you know, you know how to separate the men from the boys or the women from the girls or whatever it might be, because that person is proving their leadership in their field. They're not just talking about it.
Oh, David, I love it when you use big words.
No, that's absolutely it. So let's just, for the last few minutes here, we've talked about publicity and getting quoted in the media. Let's zoom out a little bit bigger, because I know that your core expertise is really in business growth and entrepreneurship and all kinds of marketing, not just kind of marketing and not just publicity and PR. Let's talk strategically. When people are looking at various inflection, and again, the one piece of background I did not say that maybe is in your longer bio, is you are one of the few human beings who over the years have created eight different businesses, all of which generated six figures or more in eight different arenas. Am I correct?
That's right. Eight different business models. Yes.
Eight different business models. So when someone is evaluating, okay, what's the next chapter of my business? How should I expand? Should I expand? I've got a pivot point or a turning point in my business. Let's kind of just put our strategy hats on for a second. How would you evaluate how a business might handle one of those inflection points, or what strategic questions they should ask themselves?
Great question. I do a keynote speech on this, but I'll boil it down to 15 seconds. It's deciding on your next idea is the intersection of three inflection points: what you love to do, what the audience needs, and what is profitable. So in other words, you may love painting tortoise shells, but there's no need for it. So throw it out. Okay. You may love painting tortoise shells. There may be a need for painting tortoise shells, but no one's going to pay more than $5 for a painted tortoise shell, and it takes you 3 hours to do it. You know, throw it out. So I think if you ask those three simple questions, you'll be able to throw out a lot of ideas that get your juices flowing but just won't work in the marketplace or won't make you rich or satisfy you. So I think I'm a big believer in self-actualization. I think we're at an amazing point in our universe, at least in the United States and many other developing countries, where all of our basic needs are met. We don't worry about housing or food or shelter or fire or stuff like that. We're actually further up that Maslow hierarchical scale where we're taking selfies and we're doing stuff like that. We're at an interesting point in our lives where we can do what we want to do as long as it is reasonably profitable for us. So we fall in love with our ideas, but we don't realize that some people don't need those ideas. So it's real important to make sure there's a market for it, and then make sure there's a market that's willing to pay what you want to get paid and earn what you need to earn so you can realize your goals. So I think we've come a long way in 100 years where you basically had to work in a factory to make a decent wage, and you had to stay there the whole rest of your life. And even if you want to be a writer or a painter or whatever, there is just no opportunity. Today, there are lots of opportunities. I think if we look on the internet, we see 17-year-olds and 13-year-olds making significant money blogging or video casting about things that they love, and other people willing to pay them for it. We're at an amazing, amazing point in our development as human beings.
Totally agree. Let me also ask you, because I get this question a lot, and maybe you do as well from your coaching and consulting clients. When you're looking at a working, fairly successful entrepreneur or small business owner, in your experience, what are the two or three factors that for them to go from good to great, so to speak, to really have that inflection point and go big in their business or scale it up or just start making a lot more revenue, what are two or three personal characteristics or traits that separate the successful entrepreneurs and business owners from the ones that are just kind of the dreamers and the tire kickers and the someday maybe sort of wishing and hoping kinds of folks?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm glad you phrased it that way because it could have been phrased a couple of different ways. So if it's how do I become the next Richard Branson, I mean, that's a different question. But if you're saying how do you move from the wannabe stage to the successful stage, that's easy. Just do it. Keep to a regimen, decide what needs to be done, and follow that regimen every single day. We both work with Mark LeBlanc, who's just a wonderful, wonderful business coach, and he says, do 3 high-value activities a day. And if that means write your newsletter, make a phone call to a prospect, and update your website, then that's fine. You know, whatever 3 things that work in your marketing strategy, go for it. It might be attending a networking meeting in the morning and writing thank you notes in the afternoon and making a sales call before you hang it up for the night. You know, that's fine. Whatever 3 things you are, you know, it doesn't have to be more than 3 things. You know, Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul, they did 5 things. He and his partner did 5 things every day to promote the book. It could have been send a book to Mary Lou Retton or send a book to Oprah and call the LA Times and ask them to review the book, whatever. They just did 5 little things every day, and eventually it all worked. And it was not so. That's number one. Do this. Do 3 activities that are going to get you to the next level. Number 2, do them consistently. Because as you said earlier, if you just ask a girl out for a date one time and she says no, does that mean you're never going to ask a girl out for a date again? You're going to spend the rest of your life as a hermit? Hardly. So just get up and do it. So that's really what separates the wannabes from the people who are moderately successful. Because most people are not willing to do the minimum amount of work. So if you just do the minimum amount that I've talked about, you'll be ahead of 95% of all the other people who are sitting around you at the Get Rich seminar that you just attended, because they won't do the work. I mean, it's just amazing how many people will buy stuff and not do the work. They'll buy books and not read the book. They'll hire consultants and not do what they suggested. So if you just work with, you know, get a consultant or read a book or follow through on a strategy, you'll be ahead of the game on a lot of things. Now, if you're asking how to get ahead from there, how to become the next Richard Branson, well, think big. Really, 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 really big. And that's a whole other discussion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's do this. Let's open it up for a little bit of Q&A, and I have some backup questions here from some folks who couldn't be with us live, so if I need to fill in with some backup questions, I can certainly do that. But let's go ahead and open it up. Feel free to ask a question, *6 to unmute, and we'll do a little back and forth Q&A here with Dan. Anything about publicity, press releases, marketing, web marketing, strategy, any of what we've talked about? Who's got the first question?
Oh, hi, this is Dorothy.
Hey, Dorothy.
My question is, hey, Dan. my question is, what about when you're not going after consumers, when you're looking more at a B2B and a high-level B2B technical type of a situation, how much do you think that press releases capture or appeal to or are seen by that market?
Well, I think everything I said about press releases applies equally to consumers as well as to B2B. In fact, it was kind of funny. I used to teach an internet marketing class at Berkeley, and invariably, 24 hours before the class started, I would get 2 phone calls. The first call was from someone who said, gee, I read your program description in the course catalog, and it seems really consumerish, and I'm B2B, and I'm wondering if you're going to have any B2B examples. And I said, of course, we have wonderful B2B examples, and we'll talk a lot about that. And no sooner would I hang up the phone than I get another phone call from someone who said, gee, I just read your course description in Berkeley, and it looks like you do a lot of B2B, and I'm in the consumer field, and I was wondering if you could give me some tips on consumers. That can be taught in the class. I said, of course it is. Then I looked at the course description, and nowhere did I say B2B or consumer. So people read into it what they wanted to read into it, is what I found. So I find that people want to self-select themselves out of a situation. People are looking for reasons not to buy, and that sounds like what's going on here. You're looking for why won't this work for me? Well, I'm telling you, it will work for you because people in businesses search Google the same way that people are searching for dishwashers or new cars. People are searching for strategic management consultants. They're searching for supply chain management experts. They're searching for business operations thought leaders and such like that. And those are some of the words that they are using. So if you position your press releases with those words that position you properly, then the audience that's looking to find you will find you.
Fantastic. Other questions? Publicity, PR, marketing, strategy, life.
One other thing I'd like to point out is that you don't have to execute these on your own. If you're saying, gee, it sounds like a great idea, but I don't know how to write a press release, well, that's what I'm here for. We do offer services that range all the way from done for you to do it yourself. So if you're saying, gee, this is great, but I don't know how to do this, well, there are affordable options. It's like when you buy a car, but you don't buy the car and say, gee, what happens if it breaks down? I don't know how to fix the car, so I won't buy the car. No, you take it to someone who's an expert who knows how to take care of it for you. So we can take care of that for you. So are there any questions or are there backup questions from your loyal followers who emailed you beforehand?
Well, I just want to point out, because I think when people see the word press release or think about the word press release, they're looking at a static document. And the kind of press releases that you're talking about, Dan, they can have links, they can have pictures, they can have video. Talk about kind of the state-of-the-art press release 4.0 as it is today. What kinds of things can we stick in there, and what kinds of things do you recommend for maximum findability and maximum effectiveness?
Okay. Well, I think one of the key points here that we haven't talked about so far is the fact that you can put in a call to action into a press release. So you can say that come to my website for a free white paper or to schedule an appointment or to download a sample chapter of the book or get a sample version of the product sent to you by regular mail. All those are legitimate calls to action that can be put into any press release. And as you noted, you can put in video, you can put in links to your website. So if you say you're a speaker, author, and consultant, you can have links to your speaker page, your author page, and your consulting page. You can have a link to your Amazon book page. You could put links to your newsletter or downloads or special reports. So there's a lot of interactivity that can be done with a press release. And, of course, you can include pictures and videos now. And every report I've seen lately shows that if you do include multimedia, whether it be a picture or a video, it increases the engagement exponentially because people really want to see you in action these days. So definitely put links to your website for your videos so people can see how you present your topic or, all sorts of wonderful things.
So I know one question that comes up a lot, and you touched on it just briefly earlier, and I'd love to go a little bit deeper, is, you know, reasons to send out a press release other than, the informational press release or the mini article or the mini tips. What are some other reasons that you've found really are effective and that get picked up where people should be slapping themselves on the forehead and going, oh, I really need to send a press release about this?
Well, I look at press releases also as a way that people are going to check you out. I had a client in Minneapolis where I live, and she was a business consultant, and she was coming to my office for a consultation and for press release and for PR work, and I wanted to Google her just like you would Google any of your prospects. And what I saw was kind of disturbing. I typed in her name, and the first link that came up was her LinkedIn profile. The second link that came up was her own website, and every other link on the page, there are about 10 links on a first page of Google, every other link on her page was basically a white page listing or a Dex listing or a yellow page listing from some, telephone calling service. In other words, she didn't have a whole lot of credibility in my eyes, and which was a shame because I went to her website and her bio showed a lot of credibility, but she did not have a big footprint on the internet. You know, and that's an important thing these days. So for someone who is being searched, and let's face it, they are searching you out. This is just like you say, hey, can you give me five referrals to check you out? Well, people aren't asking for those referrals anymore. They're going on the web because it's faster, and they're seeing what people are saying about you, or where you are quoted, or where your articles have been picked up, or where you've been quoted in articles, or where you're, or read your press releases and your thought leadership positions. That's what they're looking for. So in this woman's case, she had absolutely no footprint on the internet. Now, another client of mine, we do press releases for him regularly. We have press releases saying, you know, that this person keynoted at this conference. So if you're looking for like a keynoter at this conference, he's going to pop up. If you're checking him out, it's like, oh, he's already spoken, he's delivered keynotes to these industries or to these kinds of companies. Gee, this is a lot more credible. And also it pushes down his competitors, which is another reason to do press releases. And for people like David Newman, whose name is, I bet there are other David Newmans in America, if I'm not mistaken.
Very common name.
Yeah, and is it? They may not all be keynote speakers, but they may be. They may show higher than you. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So there may be a lawyer named David Newman, and he shows up higher than you. And someone looking to hire keynote speaker David Newman, they could be confused. So we want to use press releases as a way of positioning you on the front page of Google for your name if you have a relatively common name. So there are many, many other benefits of issuing press releases as a way of enhancing your reputation and your credibility and your visibility on the internet.
So it's a quick way to increase not only quality but quantity.
Right. And we can do that with news like winning an award or coming out with a new product or a new book, or we can do it with news that your readers will, or excuse me, not news, information your readers will find interesting, like tips and how-tos, or even your opinions. You may think that something that's going on in your industry is good or bad, so you take a position that either supports it or is contrary to that. So that's another way for you to stand out from your competitors as being a thought leader who has valuable opinions on a certain topic.
Wow, yeah. No, I was just reading something, or I just heard someone that said, you know, information is a commodity, and that the reason people seek out experts is specifically for their opinion. So that these opinion pieces, and sometimes even the contrarian opinion or the very strongly expressed opinion, that has real media value because it's a little bit sensational. It's a little bit controversial. It's, you know, media loves controversy. Is that still true?
Oh, that's totally true. I mean, we've seen things with Supreme Court announcements just in the last few weeks, and people on the left and the right are rallying one way or the other on these issues. But what experts really do is they provide context as well. There's a lots of information out there these days, but experts put it all into context and give it shape and focus. And I think that's why people hire speakers. That's why people look to thought leaders to put all these little data bits and factoids into context so they can make a bigger picture out of all these little pointillistic dots, much in the same way that Surratt would paint, you know, Sunday in the Park with George, or that's a common name for the painting. But you see all these little dots, and you look really close at them, and they're just little colors. They don't mean anything. But you stand a few feet back from it, and suddenly this beautiful picture emerges. And I think that's what thought leaders and experts and speakers do, and that's the real value they provide to the world, is that they take all these little dots and they make sense of them all.
So context and opinion, not just factual data or information.
They all work. Some work on different levels. Consider all of them as tools you can use, and no one is better than the other. It depends on the situation. We've all heard the old marketing story about the fisher person who has five poles in the water, and that person is going to catch five times more fish than the person who has one pole in the water. So if you do press releases and videos and blogs and articles and interviews and teleseminars and webinars, you know, you're going to have a lot more opportunity for engagement with with new prospects than if you just do one thing. And if you do them more frequently, as you suggested, then you're obviously going to have way, way, way more opportunities. And one of the great things I learned from the NSA conference that recently ended was a session from your friend Jay Baer, who basically said, take your content and not only repurpose it, but give it a new headline. So it could be five ways to brand your association, or don't make these five branding mistakes, or consider these five branding rules when branding your new product. So you can use different ways of capturing imagination and viewers by changing the headline into fear or information or context or how to. I thought it was pretty brilliant, and that gives us a lot more poles in the water for our single piece of content. Now we have five poles in the water for one piece of content, thanks to good old Jay Baer.
There you go. Fantastic. Well, Dan, just as we wrap up, tell people how they can connect with you and stay connected with you and contact you and your whole empire of products and services and information.
Sure. I'm not afraid to give out my personal email address, which is dan@prleads.com. So contact me if you have questions, and we'll see where it goes from there. But also, if you want to read more before you talk to me, that's great. And the one page that has all the information is called PR Leads Plus. That's P-L-U-S, PRLeadsPlus.com. And that'll show you about PR Leads, about our press release service, my consulting, and other services that we have as well. And if some of those services look like they'd be interesting, we'd be happy to talk to you and see if it's a good fit.
All right. My friend Dan Janelle, publicity and PR expert, marketing guru, entrepreneurial growth master, thank you for an awesome, awesome masterclass. And we will talk very soon next time. And thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next time as well. Until then, David Newman signing off. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.